For the rest of this hour, more crime, more forensic crime. This sort of done the old-fashioned CSI way you may be more familiar with. You know, there is that old saying, dead men tell no tales. Well, actually, that is not true. Dead men and women can tell a lot of tales. You just have to know how to listen. And by looking at the body, the right listener can tell an awful lot. The cause of death, how long ago it happened, what the person looked like, and in the case of a murder, maybe even who done it. Being able to interpret what a body is telling you involves a little bit of art and a lot of science. By studying bones and decomposition rates, even what kinds of bugs might colonize a dead body, forensic scientists have added a lot of tools to the crime fighter's arsenal. And joining me now to talk more about it is one of the best forensic scientists in the world, Bill Bass. He is a forensic anthropologist and founder of The Body Farm. If you don't know what The Body Farm is, go to our website at sciencefriday.com and you can look and you can see a video tour of The Body Farm. It's a little gruesome. So be ready for a little bit of shock in The Body Farm. Bill Bass's new book is called Beyond the Body Farm, a legendary bone detective explores murders, mysteries, and the revolution in forensic science. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
I'm very happy to have you. Tell us a bit about the Beyond the Body Farm. Why did you call it Beyond? Are you going to a place where no one has gone before?
Beyond the Body Farm is a collection of cases that I've worked on in the past that have taken... you may want to call them cold cases, maybe. It's taken 20 or 30 years to solve the case. And the theory behind it is, what have been the scientific changes in the technology that forensic people have used in determining what happened to people?
Mm-hmm. Tell us what a standard technique is. When you come across a body that's, tell us what you're looking for at the site and what you find there.
When the police call me and ask me to identify a skeleton or a maggot-covered body or something like that, I think they're asking me two or three questions. They're asking me, can you determine who this individual is? In other words, they're seeking an identity of the deceased person. And also, they are asking any help that I can give them on the manner in which that person may have died. Mm-hmm. So I think they're also asking, how long have they been dead? So they're asking a series of questions that we hope that we can answer as many, if not all, that they ask.
Mm-hmm. Our number, 1-800-989-8255, is our number. We're talking with Bill Bass, who is author of Beyond the Body Farm, also co-authored by John Jefferson. If you want to ask a question, that was our phone number. You can also go to Second Life. We're in the Science School area of Second Life and ask somebody with a Science Friday T-shirt on. Good question there. How new is the science, of looking at the bugs and investigating the sites and of the site? Is this a relatively new technique?
Well, if you're talking about bugs and entomology, that is entomology or forensic entomology is probably the most recent of the forensic fields.
Mm-hmm.
There have been individuals who have studied insects and their relationship to decay rates for, say, a half a century or something like that, but there have been very few until just the last, say, 20 years that have applied much of this to a study of human
right.
situation and the deaths of humans.
You tell a story of a woman in your book, Beyond the Body Farm, that you were trying to identify, and in this case, the DNA evidence was actually wrong.
That's right. You don't think about having false DNA reports, but we have one in the case of Leoma Patterson, who was a 50-year-old grandmother who disappeared in 78 in one county here in East Tennessee. And the next spring, they found a dog-scattered skeleton in a neighboring county. And there was, in that case, a false DNA report that was done in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. When I last met with you, it was a good 15 years ago, when we did this video that's on the website, and on my sciencefriday.com website of The Body Farm, it was set up to investigate and to study what bodies look like in the wild, in natural situations of deterioration, so you could understand them when you meet them in outside of this laboratory situation. Is the body farm still active in that kind of manner?
Yes, the body farm is active. Most of the research that goes on out there are either master's thesis or doctoral dissertations. Mm-hmm. These are research projects that the students have come up with. There are three long-term faculty projects. These are ones that have gone on for, say, 5 to 6 or 7 years. We have expanded from what you and I saw before. We have expanded into, say, for example, the best means today of discovering a buried body is to call in a cadaver dog. The cadaver dog is trained to smell decaying compounds that are given off of bodies. And we decided we wanted to get into that in more depth. So we have four bodies buried at the body farm, and we have them hooked up to pipes that we can get the smells, which are the compounds, off of the individuals. And we are now in the process of
right on cue.
Because my dog is barking.
It's okay. Go ahead.
You with me?
Yes, we're here. Go ahead. He barked right on cue as you were talking about the dog.
Yeah. We have devised a sniffer. This is a mechanical device that you can carry in your hand and walk across the ground, and it will pick up some of the compounds. When I say some of the compounds, we found over 400 compounds given off of decaying bodies.
Wow.
Now, not all of those 400 are of equal value, we think. And so we have taken some 20 of the major compounds, and we have devised a sniffer. Hopefully we'll devise one of these days that you can put on a vehicle and drive across a field. And it will tell you if Jimmy Hoffa's buried out there, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's still an unsolved case, is it not?
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, last year the government spent quite a bit of money digging up a farm in southern Michigan trying to find Jimmy Hoffa, and he wasn't there. I was kind of sorry they hadn't called us, because I think we could do it for a lot cheaper.
Using the dogs, you think?
Using the sniffer that we have, yes.
Oh, can you make a mechanical sniffer?
Yes, we have.
That's what it is. I see.
Yes, we have a mechanical sniffer that I'm holding out for a dial on it that tells you whether the body you found is a male or female, but it'll be a while before we get to that stage.
And you think you can get it to be that accurate, that specific?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether there's any difference between the decay smell of a woman and that of a male.
Huh.
You know, that's certainly something we need to look at down the road.
Well, tell us if that's a great challenge, what other challenges lie ahead for you in this field?
Oh, I think the criteria that we use to identify skeletal remains are based upon three anatomical collections that were started between 1900 and ran to about 1950. These were cadavers that were used in medical research, and instead of cremating the body or burying the body, three of the anatomists in the early part of the 19th century decided that they wanted to build a collection of known individuals, and that's what we studied on. Now, when the police ask me to identify individuals, they're not asking me to identify somebody that's 100 years old. They're asking me to identify somebody that is in the modern population.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided that we needed to build up a collection of modern skeletons so that those bodies that go through the body farm, the ultimate of that is all of them end up in a research or study collection. And we are fine-tuning, let's say that. We're fine-tuning the techniques that you use to determine the age and the sex and the race and the stature, handedness, all of those things that will aid the police in identifying an unknown individual.
Mm-hmm. Do juries always believe the forensic of the bug evidence that you come up with?
Well, but I don't know that they always believe, I think it depends on the person.
Yeah.
Some people tend to turn off a jury with their behavior patterns or not being able to answer questions that a jury, if you you realize that the jury is made up of average people in the population, and if you go in with a very academic answer and things like that, I think that they probably turn off some of the people in the jury.
Mm-hmm.
The one problem I have had with insects are they're a great predictor of how long you have been dead if that body is outside where the insects can get to it.
Uh-huh.
But not everybody dies outside, you see.
Right.
People die in houses,
right.
And the decay goes on whether insects there or not. The insects are one of nature's ways of reducing the body to its lowest denominator, which is the teeth and bone.
You exhumed the body of the Big Bopper. Tell us why you did that.
Well, the Big Bopper was the man that wrote Chantilly Lace and died in an airplane crash in February the 3rd of 1959 outside of Clear Lake, Iowa. There were four people in the plane, the pilot, the Big Bopper, who was a man named Giles P. Richardson. He was a disc jockey from Beaumont, Texas, and Richie Valance and Buddy Holly were also on that plane. The Big Bopper was the one found the furthest from the plane. Now, that wasn't very far, about 20 yards. As the plane ends up, it's skid into the ground. The Big Bopper is found on the opposite side of a fence that where the airplane stopped. And the family has always wondered whether their loved one survived the crash and was walking away for help. Also, about 3 or 4 months after that crash, the Iowa farmer was out cleaning up the airplane debris in his field, and he finds a pistol. That pistol was owned by Buddy Holly, and it had been fired a couple of times. And I don't know how rumors get started, but the rumor got started that that the Big Bopper had been shot.
Hmm.
Now, about 3 years ago, the Texas Historical Commission commissioned a statue, a life-size statue of the Big Bopper to be built. And when the Big Bopper was taken back to Beaumont to be buried, he was buried in a section of the cemetery that had only horizontal markers, so it was easier to mow. In order to put up that statue, they were going to have to move the Big Bopper from the horizontal section of the cemetery to the section of the cemetery that you had above ground monuments. And so they were going to move him anyway. And his son saw an opportunity to see if they could answer the two questions. Did my father survive the crash, and was he walking away for help, and was he shot?
Bill, let me interrupt you because I got to give out a little idea here. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Talking with Bill Bass, author of Beyond the Body Farm. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, he called me and asked me if I could do an autopsy and determine that, and I told him, well, I thought I could. And so in March of this year, John Jefferson, who's the writer with me of the book Beyond the Body Farm, and I went down, and we did an autopsy. We did a full-body X-ray of the Big Bopper. The Big Bopper, by the way, was in extremely good condition. He
wow.
was buried in a dry coffin. And
Bill, I got to ask you to come to
look at him and see the likeness between he and his son to show that they were it was so good. And what we did, we X-rayed the entire body from top of the skull to the bottom of the feet, and there are multiple fractures from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. They're compound fractures of the femur and the tibia, which meaning they broke and were not connected. So the answer to the first question was, no, he did not walk away from the plane, and he was not walking away to seek help. He died the instant that plane crashed. And the second one, there's no evidence of any lead splatter or anything like that, or lead wipe in the bones, and so he was not shot.
Hmm. I got about a minute left, Bill. I know that you're supposed to exhume Harry Houdini. Can you tell me why in a minute?
I can tell you why in a minute. I'm on a committee to identify him. During life, Houdini broke an ankle. And what we'll be looking for is not only the normal information on Houdini, but I'm looking to see if there is a heel fracture of an ankle.
And I thought Houdini may have died under mysterious circumstances. He was supposed
to
be punched in
him last year that suggests that.
Yeah.
Suggests he may have been poisoned instead of died from a ruptured appendix.
Could you think you could find that?
Oh, I think so. I can't find it, but they have toxicologists who will take samples and see if they can determine if there were any poisons in the body.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to happen when?
Well, I don't know. That depends on the judicial system. The lawyer who is trying to do this is a man named Jim Starrs, who teaches at George Washington University. And Jim likes to dig up cases like this from the past because of the advancement of the technology in forensics. And he thinks the technology now is a lot better than it was when Houdini died in the early 1900s. And so he's hoping that he can shed some light on that death.
Well, I want to thank you, Bill, for taking time to be with us, and always fascinating to talk with you.
All right, thanks for having me back again.
You're welcome. Dr. Bill Bass, author with John Jefferson of Beyond the Body Farm, a legendary bone detective, explores murders, mysteries, and the revolution in forensic science. With help today from NPR librarian Key Mileski, our intern is Ma Schumann, and if you'd like to surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, we're podcasting and blogging there, and also still talking with folks in Second Life. If you want to join our community, our growing community of members of Science Friday's community, you can also walk over, I guess, or fly over to Science School, the area of Second Life. And also, you can download on our website the podcast. If you want to know what this body farm is, we have a great video up there taken a few years ago of a tour of the body farm. Just go to sciencefriday.com. You can also find out information about my new book there, Present at the Future. Have a great weekend. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.